Thank you, my good brother Plika, for the reading of God's Word. Way back in the beginning of time, man violated a sacred trust and fall what the Bible called into sin. At that time, God promised man that there will come one who will balance the entire scales, defeat evil, and deliver humanity. For thousands of years, men waited. And while men waited, God worked. God worked by choosing a man named Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans, from Assyria. Through this man, God raised up a nation known to us as Israel. God worked through this nation to establish his law and his worship on this earth. Yet, the people of Israel constantly turning away from the Lord, but he was patient with them and he continued his work. He worked in spite of their tendency to follow false gods. He worked in spite of them turning a deaf ear to his word and to the prophets that he sent to them. He worked in spite of the fact that they really did not see the care about him at all. God worked because he was completing a plan that he began before the foundation of the world. And before going into our scripture today, I'd like to show you 1 Peter, please, in chapter 1, in verse 18 to 20. God worked because he was accomplishing a plan that was not done because Adam sinned, was done before Adam sinned. Here is what the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, verse 19, and verse 20. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You got verse 20? He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God worked because he was determined to send a redeemer to this world to save the lost. He worked because he was motivated by a heart of love to see his people saved, and you will see it at the end. So he worked in spite of everything they did, and in working, his love for them overcame every obstacle they placed in the path. When I was in seminary, long time ago, I asked one of my elder professors. I'm glad I went to seminary. People were, my teachers were 75 up. I'm glad, in San Francisco. And I said to my professor, I said, tell me, how do I handle people? And he said me only one word. He said, you just love them, like God handled you. Was not a great answer? It is a great answer. And this is the answer that I see in God saving God's people. All the obstacles God faced in completing his plan to save lost sinners, the most challenging from human perspective was getting the lamb into the world. Remember, there was a lamb promise, and the lamb needed to come into the world. Every first Sunday of the month, I preach on the Lord's Supper, because we have the Lord's Supper. And last Sunday, we have seen how God provided a lamb. Today, I want to show you how the lamb was prepared. God provided the lamb for the salvation of our souls. Now today, I want to show you how a lamb was prepared. So it will be good for you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start from verse 26 to the end, verse by verse, and see how that lamb was prepared. Behold, the lamb prepared. Verse 26 to 28 give us the place reserved for this preparation. The place reserved for this preparation. First of all, it was a pure place. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, what a good name though, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. God promised that the Savior of humanity will be the seed of a woman. Remember Genesis 3:15? That was an impossibility, medically speaking, because the women do not have a seed, only the man. So right there, you can see the projection of God's intention. The simple means that God will send the Savior into the world through the body of a woman without the aid of a human male. That was the point. I'm going to send a Savior without the aid of a human man. Why? Because all mankind are sinners, and that sinfulness has passed through the seed of the man. Let's look in Romans. Put one hand here and look with me in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12 to read at that point that God made. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, as just through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. So when Adam sinned in the garden, he became a sinner. And just as he passed on his human nature to his offspring, Adam also passed along his sinful nature to his children. They inherit his sin, and they too pass it to their own children. And so that's how the Bible teaches sin pass on and on and on. When Adam sinned in the garden, he became a sinner, period. And then all his descendants became a sinner. So God's plan to send a Savior into the world involved him sending a pure Savior who will not inherit a sinful nature of humanity, but one who will inherit a physical body and a human nature. And God accomplished this through the Virgin Mary in the book of Galatians in chapter 4. If you move your Bible and you want to see it, in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 4, God finally brings to the point the man that can save. Galatians 4:4 said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of, look at here, born of a woman, not of a man, born of a woman, said the Bible, born under the law. Behold, the lamb is prepared. What was the place where he was born? A pure place. A place never touched by sin. That was Eve. Amazing. Amazing. Now, it also was a promised place. If you look back in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 27, if you are using the King James or the New King James, that's the proper word, the correct word. Look at what the Bible said. To a virgin. See? Verse 26 said, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, was sent to a virgin. So here's my second point, and this place, the place was prepared. The place not only was a pure place that God prepared, it was a prophesied place. A virgin said here, all right? And remember Genesis 3:15. She will have Eve will have a baby, but not from the seed of man. And so here is a prophecy, and as the years pass, that prophecy was expanded by the prophet Isaiah. I think if you again have a Bible who is a King James or a New King James, will carry the words in Isaiah 7. And in verse 14, the Bible testifies about that prophecy. Isaiah said in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin, all right, shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right? No doubt, when God make a promise, when God make a promise, he is able to make it happen. I want you to understand that. That when God makes a promise that through the seed of a woman, a man will come, God is able to do it. When you read the scripture and God make a promise, God is able to do it. How do I know it? You know how is my point, what the Bible said. Let's go now, put one hand and look, and go with me to Romans, please. On chapter 4 and on verse 21 on the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4 and verse 21. I want to read 20 and 21 so that you get the idea. Verse 20 in Romans 4. He did not waver at the promise, talking about Abraham, of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, of being fully convinced. Abraham was fully convinced that what he had promised, he is God, he was also able to perform. We maybe don't know how, but he's able to perform. He's able to do it. Is not remarkable? Behold, the Lamb prepared. The place reserved for the preparation, it was a pure place. It was a prophesied place, but also was a prepared place. Let's go back to Luke Gospel in chapter 1 and look the last verse of the series of verses that I suggested to read. Verse 38, it says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. He's saying to God, here's your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Amazing, don't we? It is amazing. The place was a prepared place. Thank God for people like Mary, who are willing to do all the work requires, regardless of what it may require of them. May the Lord find a heart like that, beating within every one of us in our chest. May I suggest to read for you John 14 and verse 21. John 14, 21. Look at what the Bible said. This is for all of us. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, that's the secret of having God's commandment, not only in your memory, but in your practice. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest himself to him. I thought, boy, if I want to be loved by God, I have a job to do. I have to keep whatever God said. And if I keep whatever God said, and no simple, if I keep what God said, then the Father loved me and the Son loved me. I mean, the most powerful people in the entire world, God the Father and God the Son, will love me. If I just follow the book. So when I counsel a young lady not to marry an unbeliever, when I counsel a young man not to marry an unbeliever, it's not these are the rules of the church. This is what God wants. This is what God wants. And if you do what God wants, He will love you. And He will give you a gorgeous Latin boy, and He will give you a wonderful American girl. All right? This is what we suffer when we are young, don't we? Come on, we all suffer through that. Amazing. Amazing. That verse impressed me. You see? That verse of John 14, 21 tells me that the secret of a successful life. If I just follow God, God the Father will love me, and God the Son, and nothing can be against that. I guarantee it to you. Nothing can be against that. All right? Now, we got this. We got the first point. There was a place reserved for this preparation. It was a pure place. It was a prophesied place. And it was a prepared place. The lady was prepared. And you will see in a minute how God prepared that lady. So it's not just it was born like that. God intervened, and in due time, He worked, and He works, and He accomplished His goals. That's why I'm not afraid of what America goes through or the world goes through. Have you seen the news? All the Syrian people, more than 137,000 going into Europe, walking and trying to get a refugee in different countries, Italy, Germany, Norway, and all of these. It doesn't surprise me. God is moving in His plan, and I wonder, and I don't know His plan, but I know that God is moving. So the place prepared for the birth of the Lord Jesus. It was a pure place, remember that. It was a prophesied place, and it was a prepared place. Now the second point I want to make you, and going back to the Gospel of Luke from verse 31 to 33, is the promise revealed in this preparation. The promise revealed in this preparation. Verse 31 and 32, the promise of a special child. Look at chapter 1 of Luke in verse 31 and 32. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father's David. How great is Jesus? Well, let's go to the prophecy. Isaiah chapter 9. All right? Isaiah chapter 9. And let's look with me in verse 6 and verse 7. I want to show you two prophecies, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Remember, he shall be great. How great? Here it is. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Remember, the prophecy was that he will be the commander in chief. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Some people think that, oh, Jesus is no God, said some people. Well, they have not read the Bible properly, I guess. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. You know, I laugh when people say here in the city hall, oh, you cannot do this, because this is the rules. And as if it's one day, the whole world will worship the Lord Jesus. Amen. They think they are in charge. You know, I laugh. I don't tell them anything. I say, you're always happy. I say, because I know what my God is going to do. He said, what he's going to do? I don't tell you, because you'll put me in jail if I tell you. There will be no end. Look at here. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, and to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. The Sunday school class that the brother Wayne was teaching. So the promise of a special child, not just a child, a special child. And then in verse 31 is the promise of a Savior. Sometimes we read and pass reading a word that is so important. Look at verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. All right? Jesus is a Greek word. And the Hebrew word over there will be Joshua. And Jesus is the Greek word. And the name Jesus means this: Joshua is Savior. In other words, Jehovah is Savior. That's what that means. So here, when the name Jesus is put on, they knew there was something implied in that. Jesus is the word that imply a Savior, is going to be a Savior. All right? Now, behold, the Lamb for our restoration is prepared. All right? We saw the place reserved for this preparation. The promise revealed in this preparation that there will be a special child and there will be a Savior. And now, let's see the power released in this preparation. I mean, real power. Real power. God has to convince a woman. You know how strong are women? Are you married? You know how strong are women? All right? God has to convince a woman that she will be selected to be the one who have a child without having a man. You know, people said, I don't know Mary how many nights she don't sleep thinking how this is going to happen. But let's look on it. Let's go back to Luke Gospel. And the first thing that God has to do in Mary is to conquer doubts. Sometimes we have doubts. Come on, we all have doubts. If you have no doubts, you are no human. We all have doubts. It's no sin to have doubt. It's sin not to deal with the doubt, but having doubt is proper, okay? Now, look at here, verse 34, 35, and then verse 38. I'm back in Luke chapter 1. Then Mary said to the angel, you know, the angel tells her that she's going to have a baby without a man. And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I do not know a man, since I never have been with a man in a sexual relationship, how in the world am I going to have a child? Now, it's not that a real question. People say, oh, she doubts. No, she don't doubt. She's reasoning. She's a human. She said, how can this be? Verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Need to conquer doubts. How these women, and beautiful, wonderful, believer women, a good Jewish women, conquer the doubt that she was put on by God. How did she conquer? Well, she need to listen to the voice of God. In this particular occasion, verse 35 tell us that the angel of the Lord spoke. Now, today we don't have the angel of the Lord speaking to you anymore. Why? Because you know where you get the answers. Let's look on it. Put one hand here and go with me to Romans chapter 4. Now, you know this because I use this all the time. Romans chapter 4. In another man was put in question about his theology. And the Jewish people questioned the Apostle Paul about his theology in relation to salvation of Abraham. If you think that denominations like reforms and no reforms and this and the other, they are new. No, they are not new. They are from the very beginning of the world. And they question who saved Abraham, that he saved himself, that he did this. Tell me, how do you believe Abraham got saved? That he believed? Then he said that he believed by himself. They said, oh, he is a savior in himself. He said, somebody else did it. You know, they want to trap the Apostle Paul in an answer. Now, what was the answer the apostle gave? Let's read it. Romans 4, verse 1 to 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? In other words, humanly speaking, how that he was saved. Verse 2. For Abraham was justified by works. He has something to boast about it, but not before God. Now, some people say, what do you do when you're going to be saved? Do you bring a good offering to the Lord? I grew up in a country where the major religion was Roman Catholic, and I live close to Hawaii, where people will walk 70 kilometers, 50 miles, something like that, will walk 70 kilometers to bring some gold to the Virgin Mary to save them every year. Some were smart and were in bike, but the people walk over there. Their intention was good. We want to be saved. A great intention. We want to be saved, but the wrong medicine, the wrong prescription. All right? So the Apostle Paul said here, for if Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to glory. Now, look at the answer in verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Well, if you go to Genesis 15, you find it. Here it is. Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him to righteousness. He believed God. That's what the scripture said. And you read the Bible, and you don't believe God. And one day you believe God. If you keep reading. If you could read in the Bible said faith come. In Romans 10:17, the Bible said faith come by hearing. And hearing the word of God. So important. So the power to conquer doubts is to listen to God's word. In the case of Mary, yes, she listened to a voice, the voice of an angel, all right? That beautiful archangel that came to her. That was the ordination before the Bible was completed. But if you have doubts, you do well and read the Bible. I had to counsel Victor's mother. And she caught me with my brains as an old man, can't find the verse, and I look on it, and she said, Pastor, you mentioned to me this verse, and I thought that David said, and I visited with her. We were alone, so Victor was not there, Darlene was not there, and I enjoy it in Spanish, Castilian Spanish, her mother speaking. I speak Castilian Spanish. We speak in Hungarian. I said, wait, and then I teach him this, but she wanted to know this. I told her. He said, but you don't find the verse yet. Oh, I said, oh, you know how it is. You get proud. And I keep on doing, and then I can't find it. I said, you don't find it, don't you? I keep on going. We spent 2 hours. But I'm glad that they have fruit. Thank you for the salad. And I have, I said, do you have cakes? You know, give me chocolate cakes. And I eat and coffee. We did all kinds of things, but can't find the verse. I was so frustrated. I go to my computer, can't find the verse because I was looking to David rather than looking to the whole Bible. I focus on David, can't find the verse. So I said, Lord, you don't want to reveal the verse from the morning. Oh, Gabriel, listen, I know you don't want to do that. But I need to know the verse. Every morning I say, Lord, I need to know this. And I look on it. I had computers here, computers in my home, Hebrews, Greek. I punch words, and there was a chaos. And I said, but I know that David said that. So I'm visiting last week with my brother-in-law, Raquel's sister. He's an old man. He's an old man in the gospel. And we were looking in a... he saw me sitting and making a little effort to get up. So, oh, you are like Jesus told Peter. So I said, what did he told Peter? So he told Peter, when you get older, some people will dress you up. And he used in a Spanish Castilian word, the only man, a Castilian, could use the word señor, which is the word to gird, to dress up. That's an old Spanish. My mother said, your pants are not señor properly. That's an old Spanish. Señor, that word, I said, should be in some encyclopedia. So I went, I said, what are you doing? No, leave me alone. Found it. John 21:18. I never want to forget that verse. So I wrote a letter to Victor and give it to Wednesday. I said, give it to your mom. You know, so when you are older, Peter was energy. He said, Peter, there will be a time when you get older, people will dress you up. And people will seat you in places you don't want to sit, and you will go to places you don't want to go, but that's natural. And so I said, she needs that verse. I want the scripture to teach me. And that's the value. So here it is, the power of release and preparation, the power to conquer doubts. The only way to conquer doubts in our life is by reading the scripture. And don't worry if you don't get the point at that moment like I did. I was so anxious. At 4:30 in the morning is when I read the Bible. And I said, Lord, I need to know. I read the whole 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. I know a lot of things, but I didn't know the verse that I wanted to know because I was on the wrong track. But God knew my heart. And my brother, out of the blue, look at me, have a hard time to get up. He said, oh, you are like Peter. What Peter said. You know, it's just amazing. So in this case, there was a preparation. And the preparation was the voice of the angel is speaking to Mary. The preparation of your heart and my heart will be the voice of this word, the Holy Scripture, helping you. Secondly, verse 36 and 37, the power to carry out his desires. Verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, God has given an example, and Elizabeth was older, and Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son. What? Elizabeth, 80 something? Conceive a son, all right? Look at what the Bible says. At her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. In other words, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. Verse 37 is the key. Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. The power to carry on our desires. For God, nothing will be impossible. Move your Bible to Luke chapter 18, please. And look with me in verse 27. Let me read verse 26. And those who heard it, remember this is the story where a camel could go through the needle. The Bible said in verse 26, and those who heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That's what we witness to people. One time I was witnessing somebody in McDonald's. Oh, don't talk to him. You waste your time. No, I don't waste my time. You never waste your time when you witness to people, because with man it's impossible, but not with God. It's not that beautiful? So, here is the whole panorama. We're going to have the Lord's Supper, and there is a lamb that has been prepared. Took a lot of preparation, no? Took a pure place, a prophesied place, a place of security. It took a revelation. What place will be? God's not talking about a building. He's talking about a human person, a woman. That was the place. And then the power release. This human lady need to be willing herself. God did not force her. God did not say this. God is talking to her, and then she said, remember 38 and Luke 1, Lord, do what you want. Is that the best way in your life and my life? When we say, Lord, I don't understand, but you do what you want and let me know. And then God sent Elizabeth, said, you see, I did it with Elizabeth. She already had a baby. You will have one. I look into this, you know, took a long time, a year to prepare this. Now, as human, I have questions. Why will God go to all that trouble? You know? Why will God go through all that trouble? Why would he send his son into this world? He don't have to. Why did he send his son into this world? Why would he allow the son to die, not for something great, for something lost, you and me? Why did God send this? I found the answer. It's amazing, but it's the answer that I thought should be. In John 3:16, you know that verse by heart. The Bible gives us the clue there, and then we're going to see it in Romans 5:8. And John 3:16 is a declaration, and Romans 5:8 is an explanation. Look at in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Agape. Just God love. Not because he's getting something out of it. It's just love. God so loved the world. Now, who really God loves? All right, Romans. Now we go to Romans 5 and in verse 8. We go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And there the Bible tells you the love of God. Look at here. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrated his love, his own love toward us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, I don't have to be good to be loved by God. God loved me when I'm no good to him. I can be the best medical doctor. I can be the best engineer. I can be the best father, the best husband. But if I'm not saved, I'm no good to God. And don't be afraid of God, because he specializes in that. When we say we are no good, he said, well, that's how I love it. I love it. In the Spanish countries, it's different than here when you date at my time. Because you are a professional family, so you're going to date the professional. So my daddy was looking for a picture of my mother, tall lady, blonde, with all kinds of degrees, family rich, and so on. And we're introducing, I care less. I study, I play soccer, I care less about things, until I saw Raquel. And I said to a friend, I said, I'm going to marry that lady. She said, oh, no, she's really tough. I said, I'll marry that lady. Oh, I said, the boy's trying to date her. She's tough. Don't worry about it. I'm going to marry that lady. I did. Took me 7 years, but I did. See, this is what the Bible is saying. God loves you and me. I don't know why, but he loves. And the only way that he put up with us is because he loves us. That's the secret of relationship, don't we? People say, well, what is the secret of being married 54 years? We just love each other. She put up with all my mistakes. And of course, she said, women have no mistakes, so I don't say one. You know what I mean? It's just tremendous. Love. Just God loved me. That's what I'm saying. Not that I did this or this or this or this or I went to that school, somebody in the gym and doing flexings, which is you have to twist this leg into this and this one into this and crawl. One guy saw me and said, man, are you okay? I'm okay. And I'm almost on the steps of 80. And I'm doing this what the young people are doing. And he said, I cannot do it. You just get on the table. I'll make you do it. Oh, he cried so hard. Said, why do you do that? Because I love to walk. And if you don't do exercises and move on at least 1 hour a day, you cannot walk anymore. So you walk. And they see me with my bottle of water. He said, you love water? No, I don't love water. But if I don't drink water, then I'm in trouble. So I drink water. I used to drink as much as 40 cups of coffee. And I got in trouble. And God forgive me and restore me. So my healing is water. I had to get 8-9 bottles of water a day, and I'm okay. He looked at me. He said, well, I'm not stupid. You know, I'm still good looking. You know, I tell you, God loves you. God loves me. God loves your wife. God loves your husband, and you should love your wife and your husband and love your children. Oh, they will make mistakes. They will make awesome mistakes, but you love them. You love them. And that will move everything away. There is no medical condition. There is no a drug that you can take and cure something. You have to love like God loves. He loves you and me without thinking of my past, thinking of my future. He just loved me. Are we glad that we have a God who loves us? That's his preparation. He sent a son. People crucify in Calvary's cross, but he loves us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I would like to pray with the Apostle Paul that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give all of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, so we may know what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? May these words be fulfilled in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.